tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, December 6, 2017.
And it's fun to see the look on the kids' faces when you explain to them that that's what the children got in that time period in a log cabin.
Coming up later in the program, WFHB Assistant News Director Sarah Vaughn speaks with Ellettsville residents about an upcoming holiday celebration.
Also coming up in the next half hour, our consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware, celebrity endorsements for products are being used by scammers to charge huge amounts to unsuspecting victims' credit cards, and people are willingly giving up their DNA code to websites in order to trace their relations and origins, but without much knowledge of how that information could be used. All that coming up on a new edition of Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
The Bloomington Planning Department is issuing a recommendation to decrease the size of housing developments in the city's downtown. The recommendation, which was publicized through Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton's office, states that the Planning Department is looking to decrease the average height and the mass of new buildings. Bloomington Mayor's office spokesperson, Mary Catherine Carmichael, says the recommendations come after public outcry over the large city block housing developments.
People in Bloomington, and of course the mayor heard this also throughout his campaign, and then now that he's been in office almost 2 years, people are just really concerned about the size and density of projects that are going in the downtown area and some of the locations for those really big projects that tend to be student housing.
Carmichael says that until the city finalizes its Unified Development Ordinance, or UDO, the planning department is working with height and density limitations that don't agree with the feedback she's heard from residents.
Council and planning have had very few tools in their tool belt to address these concerns, and so until the new Unified Development Ordinance is in place and the new Comprehensive Master Plan is approved, this is kind of a stopgap measure to slow things down a little bit. It is going to require smaller buildings if they are to be built by right, and that means they don't require a variance to be built. So it's basically just kind of a slowing down for now, unless, you know, if they want to come in with, if developers choose to come in with smaller by right developments, they can do that, but they won't be the really massive projects that we've seen recently.
Bloomington city officials are currently reviewing the city's UDO.
The City of Bloomington partnered with the future Graduate Hotel on Kirkwood Avenue to develop an art project at the hotel's construction site. The project was a collaborative effort between the City of Bloomington Arts Commission and the site's developer and Graduate Hotel parent company, AJ Capital. The piece is a banner that is wrapped around the barrier fence surrounding the construction site. It depicts stylized purple hands holding each other against a yellow background. Titled All Hands for Bloomington, the installation was created by Indianapolis-based artist Nat Russell. In a press release issued by the city, Mayor John Hamilton said, quote, "We're ecstatic to see this new installation during the construction phase of the project. I hope other developers are inspired by how the construction phase of a project can use public art to beautify a job site," unquote. The installation is a part of the city's larger Public Arts Master Plan. The plan works to create goals for public artworks and set priorities for the city's investments in public art.
The Centers for Disease Control ranked the city of Bloomington as the drunkest city in the state. Bloomington ranked among the top drunkest city nationwide. In a poll conducted which examined alcoholism and binge drinking, the CDC data poll found Bloomington to be the city with the highest level of binge drinking in Indiana. The study found that almost 20% of Bloomington residents over the age of 18 had four or more drinks in one sitting. When it comes to nationwide drinking, Bloomington is in the top 25%. The CDC ranked Green Bay, Wisconsin, as the drunkest city in America.
United States Congressman Todd Rokita is sponsoring legislation that would charge public officials in so-called sanctuary cities with felonies for harboring undocumented immigrants. Rokita's so-called Stopping Lawless Actions of Politicians, or the SLAP Act, was introduced on the U.S. House floor on Friday. Speaking on Fox Business, Rokita told commentators his bill will prosecute any public official who obstructs the deportation or detention of undocumented immigrants.
Under the SLAP Act, if you fail to abide by a federal custody order, you know, that's a violation of federal law, and you can be, it's a felony. Under the
would
SLAP
you be
Act,
going
be
after the mayor of San Francisco or the sheriff of San Francisco?
Well, any elected official who would be liable, so who ignored mm-hmm. the federal order. I mean, that's what we're going after, and it's a felony. You know, 5 years imprisonment, up to $1 million of fines. Yeah. You know, if they're going to act like criminals themselves, if they're going to put the interests of these illegal immigrant criminals above the safety of their own citizens, then we ought to lock them up.
Rokita represents Indiana's 4th Congressional District, and he's announced his intention to run against U.S. Democratic Senator Joe Donnelly in 2018. That's assuming he can clinch the Republican nomination against fellow Indiana Congressional Republican Luke Messer. Rokita told Fox News personalities he's hoping to get a companion bill passed through the Senate.
Well, I hope to get a companion bill. We're starting to talk with senators right now on that. But it's one of the reasons I'm running for Senate out of Indiana is because of what's not getting done over in the Senate. Yeah. We really need to change that. We saw the power of a Senate vote in a very terrible way with the health care bill. We continue to see how hard it is to get things done. Yeah. We can change those things.
So, by the way, Senator Joe Donnelly is one of the people the president was told to target because he's so-called moderate. That's the seat you'd be running for. Is he a moderate?
He votes with Bernie Sanders 80% of the time.
Okay. Enough said. So that, do you think that represents people of Indiana?
Absolutely not, you know, and that's why he's got to go. Joe must go, and we're going to get the job done.
Rokita's bill comes after the city of Gary, Indiana, is facing a lawsuit against a city council ordinance that would prevent public officials from actively working to deport undocumented immigrants. Yesterday, a conservative attorney based in Terre Haute sued Gary for violating the state's anti-sanctuary cities legislation. The Northwest Indiana Times reports that city council members will be considering repealing their welcoming city ordinance during their December 19 meeting. Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton will flip the switch on the city's solar panels tomorrow morning. The city worked with solar developers to install 5 megawatts of solar paneling on the parking lot and City Hall buildings before year's end. That deadline is due to the passage of Indiana Senate Bill 309, which reduced the rate utility companies had to compensate solar producers who generated power back into the electrical grid. A city press release stated that the public is invited to attend the ceremony tomorrow morning at 10:30 at the Bloomington City Hall. The ceremony will also include an informational session for residents to learn more about the city's latest solar initiatives, including solar power and energy savings.
The deadline to register for health insurance through National Health Insurance Marketplace is December 15th. Katie Rodriguez, a certified Affordable Care Act navigator at the South Central Community Action Program, says both health care navigators and applicants are working against a number of obstacles in this year's open enrollment period. Last year, open enrollment lasted 90 days from November 1st through the end of January. This year, it's been cut short and ends in a little over a week.
Just getting the word out is difficult. We've met all of the navigators together to kind of coordinate our outreach and make sure that we can do the best that we can. but it really kind of feels like things are stacked against us.
Second, Rodriguez says marketing funds for the program have been cut by 90%, meaning social services agencies and volunteers are working hard to get the attention of the uninsured as the deadline approaches. She expects these two factors alone will mean fewer individuals and families will be insured compared to last year. Rodriguez says another challenge is the limited number of insurance providers.
Whereas last year there were four choices on the marketplace, this year for Monroe County there's one choice, CareSource. And it's like that for about half of Indiana. So I think there's going to be people who are going to come in and they're unsure about what they can get. And once they see what they can, that there's fewer choices, I think they're going to be upset.
Rodriguez says navigators can help applicants figure out what they're eligible for and explain the plan levels.
So your bronze plan is kind of your lowest premium every month, but you have a higher deductible. The silver plan is kind of where you get the best deal. That's what they're gearing people towards. It also has the cost-sharing reductions, so your out-of-pocket is a lot lower. The premium's a little bit higher, but your deductible is lower, and your out-of-pocket is much lower. And then the gold plan is just, you know, if you're willing to pay the price for the highest premium with the smallest deductible possible, then that's what you go for.
Rodriguez also reminds applicants they won't be able to access the health insurance marketplace on Sunday mornings. The Center for Medicaid, which runs the marketplace, takes it offline for maintenance every Sunday from midnight until noon. The South Central Community Action Program is just one area organization helping residents to register for insurance through the health insurance marketplace. IU Health Individual Solutions, Volunteers in Medicine, and the City of Bloomington's Community and Family Resources Department all have certified navigators. Rodriguez says applicants wanting to register through a navigator will need to have their Social Security number, proof of address, and proof of income with them. A documents checklist is available at healthcare.gov. Once enrolled, coverage begins January 1st, 2018. Support for WFHB comes from Cardinal Spirits Distillery, located on the Beeline. Cardinal Spirits has a new kitchen featuring local seasonal food made from scratch to complement their craft cocktails. Dinner available Tuesday through Saturday at Cardinal Spirits, 922 South Morton Street. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle.
In a mirrored room at Ellettsville Seven Oaks Classical School Building, members of the Indiana Dance Company are perfecting their footwork for upcoming performances. The company's award-winning team, Velocity, will be clogging at Saturday's Santa on Sale Street event in downtown Ellettsville. Evan Burdett is one of the troupe members who will be clogging on Saturday. He's been clogging for 9 years.
I'm very excited. I'm excited. We don't get to do this very often.
Indeed, clogging to hip-hop-styled Christmas carols is not something Ellettsville residents will likely get to hear or see every day, but these kids definitely have the moves. Less than half a mile away, a more traditional Christmas vibe can be found in the 150-year-old Enright log cabin. Marilyn Harris of Richland Senior Housing, which owns the historic cabin, is decorating it as many Ellettsville residents would have in the 1800s.
It said that they primarily would put out a tree that they had cut from the woods or the fields, and they would decorate it with candles and fruit and homemade ornaments of that kind. We put on oranges and apples. We string cranberries and popcorn, put that on there. We have some vintage toys that we put around it, and we put a quilt down for a tree skirt.
And then there's the Christmas stockings hung by the fire.
Three big, long, gray stockings with red at the top that look really old-fashioned. And I put things inside of those stockings that would have been like children would have received for their Christmas present back then, maybe a penny and a tin cup, maybe an orange or an apple, things like that. And it's fun to see the look on the kids' faces when you explain to them that that's what the children got in that time period in a log cabin, you know, way back where there wasn't means to go out and purchase things. They find that really interesting. Their little eyes will get really big, and it's just cute.
The nonprofit Ellettsville Main Street has been coordinating Santa on Sale Street for 7 years. It begins with a breakfast at the Masonic Lodge at 8 a.m., followed by activities at locations along a two-block stretch of Sale Street in downtown Ellettsville. Event coordinator Chris Fisher says many organizations in this small town really come together to pull off Saturday's event. High school students bake cookies to decorate. There's hot chocolate.
In Thurman's Garage, we will have you can decorate gingerbread men, which is new this year. We have a person coming to do balloon sculptures. The Boys and Girls Club bring their cornhole game for anyone to play.
At the log cabin, Harris says traditional activities like making garlands, paper angels, and lanterns are still popular with children and require limited parental involvement.
We let them string popcorn and cranberries. And then they can add it to the tree or they can take it home with them. And that seems to be their most popular, the most popular thing that they do for some reason. We did a little lantern that we used a fruit jar, and we put a little artificial candle in that and greenery, and we let them decorate it with ribbons or, you know, whatever they wanted to that way.
Carolers from Edgewood Intermediate School will be making the rounds with sounds of the season, setting the mood for a visit from Santa Claus.
They come in the library, and there's nothing I like better than a library filled with song. If just temporarily break the quiet of the library for some joyous children's voices, and they often have songs, dances choreographed to their songs. And of course, I know a lot of these children, so I actually fight back tears every year when the choir comes in the library and sings two or three songs, and then they head out.
That's librarian Stephanie Holman. According to Holman, Santa Claus will arrive on a fire truck at the Ellettsville Branch Library at 9:30 a.m. Howell says the event both strengthens the library's connection with the town and townsfolk's connection with each other.
It's such a all-ages event, and, of course, younger families in particular, but it just really brings the community together, brings us all to a halt for a little bit as we join together in our downtown, which is quite beautiful little downtown Main Street here, which is called Sale Street. That's why it's Santa on Sale Street. And it's just very joyous.
Ellettsville Main Street's Chris Fisher says Santa on Sale Street is meant to be an event that people can enjoy without spending money unless they want to. Even better, it's all within walking distance. Reporting for WFHB, I'm Sarah Vaughn.
That was WFHB Assistant News Director Sarah Vaughn.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Up next, our weekly consumer watchdog segment. Better beware.
Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your consumer watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
Mammy Yoakum in Al Capp's Lil Abner comic strip used to give people she didn't like a whammy. And if she really didn't like them, she'd make it a double whammy. And that's what we've got this time. First, have you or someone you know, maybe someone in your family, ever bought a product because it was endorsed by a celebrity? If so, beware. A rash of totally fake celebrity endorsements has been spreading online. Something called KAI serum is supposedly approved by Flip or Flop star Christina El Moussa, but it's not. Another story claims NCIS star Paula Parrott quit the show to focus on a new skincare line, but she didn't. Stars from the popular show Shark Tank are not, repeat, not, endorsing Hydralee skincare products. The Better Business Bureau has had thousands of complaints about these and similar frauds. In many cases, people signed up for a $5 trial order and found a credit card charge for $500. Celebrity endorsements are kind of shaky in any case. I mean, how is someone who's known for acting, or maybe just famous for being famous, really going to be any kind of an expert on technical or medical subjects? But now, quite a lot of so-called celebrity endorsements are nothing but barefaced lies. If you've never used a product before, if you've never dealt with a company before, especially if it's an internet transaction, research before you reach for your wallet. Check the Better Business Bureau or do a search for the product or company and the word complaints. And here's the other whammy. Lots of people are getting their DNA analyzed without realizing how risky that can be. Companies are offering to tell you where your ancestors came from, or design a perfect diet based on your genes, or even tell you what wines you're going to like. But when you send in that sample, you're giving away the most personal thing you own, your total genetic code. It's the ultimate ID, and it may well contain some scary or embarrassing information. Despite any promises or a long, complicated privacy agreement nobody bothers to read, you don't know what that information will be used for, now or sometime in the future, by the company you sent it to or somebody who hacks into their database. And some companies make you fill out a detailed questionnaire about your health, lifestyle, habits, and preferences. If you go to a clinic, you'll get counseling on the risks, but with a home test kit, you won't. Think twice, do a lot of research, and then think a third time before you have your DNA tested. It all comes down to that fine old saying, look before you leap, doesn't it? I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at WFHB.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@WFHB.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Alex Davis, Wes Martin, and Jonah Chester. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish. Our feature was produced by Sarah Vaughn.
Our engineer today, Dan Withard. Our theme music provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Scott Weddle.
And I'm Barbara Fuqua. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported independent daily news program, recognized among the best newscasts in 2016 by the Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@WFHB.org. And stay tuned now for the Brown County Hour, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@WFHB.org.